Listeners, you are tuned in to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland and KQAC HD3 Portland. Find us on Portland's radio dial at 107.1 and 91.1 FM. Find us streaming live on the internet at xray.fm. Music lovers, this is Tropicology, the next generation of the adventures of Encyclopedia Sound. Welcome to Tropicology, your resource for great rare groove music from Africa, Brazil, and Latin America. This is international music, but it feels familiar because it is built with African drumming and European composition, the same ingredients used in our own jazz, funk, and rock. I am DJ Encyclopedia Sound, your guide for this weekly journey. Along the way, I will drop some pearls of knowledge about the origins of this music and its cultural significance, along with some historical and artistic context. Tropicology is produced in Portland, Oregon for X-Ray FM, Organic Community Radio, for the post-new media world. Today on Tropicology, we are returning to an annual theme I have been doing since I began the old show, The Adventures of Encyclopedia Sound. Thanksgiving weekend is an occasion to reflect on all the things in our lives for which we are thankful, and to think about those less fortunate than ourselves. This is a day when some of us may have to swallow our distaste for one or more members of our extended families in the name of peace and tranquility, with a place at the table for everyone. It is a time to put aside worldly concerns for at least one day and reaffirm our collective commitment to higher ideals, even if we're back in the rat race on December 1st. And I can think of no better music for that occasion than jazz and jive from apartheid-era South Africa. For those too young to remember apartheid South Africa, it may be tempting to think that government-sanctioned segregation, discrimination, and repression in the Western world was a thing of the distant past. But it was just 1994, merely 25 years ago, when Africans in South Africa were first granted voting rights. Prior to that, the country was dominated by the small minority of European whites in South Africa. Africans in that country lived in segregated housing, were barred from owning businesses, and interracial marriage was forbidden. Any political resistance was repressed using brutal force. In spite of this oppression, South Africans produced profoundly beautiful, spiritual, and peaceful music during the apartheid era. I have always been amazed that this music was created at a time when their community was being denied basic human rights. Like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr., these artists took a moral high road, calling for peaceful resolution rather than violent resistance. They used their international fame and their beautiful music to bring attention to the cause, fueling a global public awareness campaign that put pressure on South Africa's apartheid government. I find this to be an inspiring testament to the strength of the human spirit and the eternal hope for social justice and a better future. So I ask you, what better music could there be for Thanksgiving? A very happy Thanksgiving wish from Tropicology to you and all of yours on this Thanksgiving weekend of 2019. We will kick off the show with a track from Malombo Jazz Makers. You are listening to Thanksgiving Jive on Tropicology.
Kaukaules go together. Nali Zulu liya tuma. Yega lembongolo sikubizi nkomosko tuge. Oh, lizulu liyatuma. Oh, isihleli nje singamado.
I'm not afraid to die. Come on.
lovers, you are listening to Tropicology, featuring great rare groove music from Africa, Brazil, and Latin America. I am your host, Encyclopedia Sound, playing today jazz and jive music from apartheid-era South Africa in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. If there is one thing worth asking about the history of apartheid South Africa, it is how could the international community permit this to go on for so long? I certainly cannot defend the collective inaction of the major powers, but I can explain the geopolitical forces that shaped the decision-making process. The British Empire controlled South Africa for about 125 years, officially ceding power to the local white population in 1931. During that time, British companies had heavily invested in South Africa, especially in a mining industry made all the more lucrative because the captive labor force could never unionize. Additionally, South Africa's ports were important military assets on the strategic Cape trade route between the South Atlantic and Indian Oceans. These factors alone made South Africa a critical ally, but one other factor weighed as well. Apartheid played out against the backdrop of the Cold War between the Western powers and the Soviet bloc. The apartheid government in South Africa was a reliable ally for the Western bloc in the Cold War, so the administrations of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher vetoed the imposition of UN sanctions against South Africa in the 1980s. Meanwhile, the Soviet Union tried to make inroads by supporting the African National Congress along with various paramilitary groups in their resistance to the apartheid government. The end result was our country's shameless tacit support for apartheid until the very late 1980s when the US Congress finally imposed sanctions. This was far from the only place where the West was willing to overlook human rights abuses in order to sustain a strategic ally, but it was probably the worst case. So just a happy holiday reminder that we can be thankful we don't support anything as awful as apartheid today, even under this administration. In the next set, we are going to go a little deeper into the South African jazz sound. You are listening to Tropicology. Listeners, this is Tropicology, playing today jazz and jive music from South Africa during the apartheid years, a beautiful expression of the dignity of the human spirit. The greatest hero of the struggle against apartheid, as you probably know, was South Africa's Nelson Mandela. Born in 1918, Mandela attended college and became a lawyer based in Johannesburg. He quickly became active in movements against the government. His charisma and inspirational speeches gained him a leadership role in the African National Congress as well as international attention. Initially, Mandela renounced violence, but by 1961, he co-founded a militant group to fight government forces, for which he was sentenced to life in prison. Fast forward to the end of the 1980s, and the international pressure against apartheid had now reached critical mass. No demand was louder than the call to free Mandela, so in 1990, the government released him. This was a moment in time when Western governments had run out of lifelines for the apartheid regime. As the perception set in that the government was isolated, various African resistance groups organized large public marches, sometimes violent, as they jockeyed for position in the post-apartheid power vacuum that now seemed inevitable. This was a profoundly pregnant moment in world history that doesn't get a lot of attention. South Africa's long-suppressed population was a powder keg. Had Mandela used his influence to advocate for violence or even to turn a blind eye, there would have been horrific scenes in South Africa that would haunt the world forever. Mandela's heroic legacy is that, in spite of the suffering he personally endured, he advocated for peace and reconciliation, almost entirely avoiding bloodshed during the tense period of transition to democratic rule. Mandela was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1993, and in 1994 he was elected president of South Africa. He guided the country through 5 critical years of social and economic stability, setting the new nation on its feet. Okay, that will be all the political history today, I promise. In the next set, we will execute a left turn into more spiritual jazz territory. This is Tropicology. Thank you.
chapel.